With that, we turn to our scripture reading, which comes from the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 19, verses 1 through 10. Luke, chapter 19, verses 1 through 10. And this is reading of God's word. He, that is Jesus, entered Jericho and was passing through. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was rich. And he was seeking to see who Jesus was, but on account of the crowd, he could not, because he was small in stature. So he ran ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was about to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today." So he hurried and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all grumbled, "He has gone in to be the guest of a man who is a sinner." And Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, "Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I restore it fourfold." And Jesus said to him, "Today, salvation has come to this house, since he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost." Amen. I can see that many are still under the weather and not able to join us. So for those who are joining us through online, welcome. Again, Happy New Year. You ever thought about why we make New Year's resolutions? Or have you made one? I thought about that. Why do we make resolutions that most likely we won't keep? I think it's because something about when the new year begins, for some reason it stirs up some hope. A new start. A clean slate for some reason, and we can get rid of our guilt of what we did accomplish last year and to say, it's an opportunity to start over. Maybe that's why we make New Year resolutions. But others, and I know some in this congregation, there has not been a change this past year of their circumstances and their condition. Many are unhopeful, even dreading for this year to begin. So how are we as a church to take apostles' word from Philippians chapter 3, verse 13, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead? That's what Apostle Paul did. He, forgetting what lies behind, that's present tense, keep on forgetting. And that's not just his failures and sins. He's also talking about his victories of gospel ministry. So forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead. So the question for you and I this morning is, as we face the new year, what does that mean? How do we move beyond the past that is unchangeable, that is done? How do we move forward of our unalterable past and yet same time push forward to the future that is unpredictable? Well, the answer is by faith. And so for as we face the new year, we're not sure what lies ahead. Our congregation is aging, which means percentage-wise, there might be more ill and sick people. Now, who knows? So what does it mean to leave behind what we cannot change, but push forward knowing it's uncertain? For this purpose, we turn to today's passage. Jesus meets a man named Zacchaeus, and Luke tells a story. It's an encounter that allows a man to leave behind his unalterable past, and he moves forward to his beautiful future. And to understand what's going on here and how we prepare for the new year, I divided the message into two parts. The gospel according to Zacchaeus, or the gospel in Zacchaeus, number one, gospel illustrated, and number two, fruit of conversion. And then we're going to partake communion. So elementary students, you have your little note-taking that Pastor Peggy prepared. Write some down. Write some questions. Ask your parents later. We really believe in the importance of implicit teaching as we worship together. So gospel and Zacchaeus, gospel illustrated and fruit of conversion. When we begin, the illustration of the gospel, verses 1-3, look with me. He, that is Jesus, entered Jericho and was passing through. That is, Jesus is making way into Jerusalem now. Within a week, he'll be betrayed, mocked, and crucified on the cross. So Jesus knows what's coming. And as he was passing by the city called Jericho, and behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was rich. And he was seeking to see who Jesus was, but on account of the crowd, he could not because he was small in stature. So to us, to the readers, Luke introduces a man named Zacchaeus. We are informed of Zacchaeus' job, his financial status, and his physical stature. We're told that he was a chief tax collector, and he was very rich. When the Bible uses the superlative very or lot or many, it means a lot. But we're also told that he was very short in his height. And so when Jesus talks to him, the crowd becomes very angry in verse 7 because Jesus did what was unthinkable. It was appalling for the crowd to witness what Jesus was doing. Can I ask you a question, church? What kind of person that would walk through our sanctuary this morning that would make you appalled, like gross? Think about that person and heighten it about 10 times. Because here's the reason. Zacchaeus' name is pretty interesting. The meaning of Zacchaeus means pure, innocent, or clean, which totally betrayed his occupation. You see, a tax collector at that time was working for Rome, the very country that is oppressing his nation, and was collecting taxes from his own people. And we're told in verse 8, he defrauded many of them. And through it, he made a lot of money. In other words, Zacchaeus was a betrayer to the max. He betrayed his people and his nation to seek wealth for himself. Second, we're told that Zacchaeus was a chief tax collector. I take that as he was very high in the ranking, which means that he was, quote, very faithful at what he was doing. In other words, he was ruthless, he was cold, he was cruel. And therefore, he rose up in the ranks as tax collectors. And thirdly, we're told that Zacchaeus was a short man. Yeah, I don't know how tall he was, so I did a little research. Do you know what's the average height of man in the U.S.? 5'9" is the average height. which means I'm short, a little below average. So I looked up Middle East. Maybe that's a little different. Well, it's pretty same. 5'9", so Zacchaeus, I don't know. All we're told is that he couldn't see Jesus because there was a crowd in front of him, which means maybe 5'1", 2". So the question is, what would cause someone to go to this extent, to turn his back on his own people and his own nation? I did some little thinking, and this is not in the Bible. It just try to put myself in shoes. He was named as someone who's pure and innocent and clean. I don't know, maybe he couldn't live up to the standards that his parents thought he would be. Maybe he was bullied because he looked the weakest or the shortest at his school. Maybe he was poor. You know, he's got second hand. We don't know. But whatever it was, it moved this man to betray his own country, to become wealthy. We're told in verse 3a, but something was going on in his heart. He was seeking Jesus. Verse 4, so he ran on ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was about to pass that way. So we're told, here's a man, Zacchaeus. I use the word phrase, he sold his soul to the devil. And he achieved his goal. No one could look down on him anymore. He was filthy rich. But something was missing. Something was not quite right in his heart. Maybe he heard about Jesus and how he's a little unique than other rabbis and teachers because he sided with sinners and healing the sick. Maybe he was siding with the nobodies of the society, and that's what he heard, so he wanted to know. Something was happening in his heart. So he calculated where Jesus would walk by. He runs ahead, and he climbs up a sycamore tree. And I think there's a two reason. We're told because he was limited in his height. He couldn't see over the crown, but I think it's more of the consequence of his decision to betray his nation. He was a marked man. Townspeople hated him to the guts. Being in the crowd to see Jesus would expose his backside. He could be attacked at any time. But relinquishing this danger, Zacchaeus wanted to see Jesus. Verse 5 and 6. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today. So he hurried and came down and received him joyfully. Something changed. He went from fear to joy. Notice, no one knew where Zacchaeus was, but Jesus knew. He stops from his track right underneath where Zacchaeus was hiding and looking down. He looks up, and it's interesting, he calls him by name, Zacchaeus, come down. And Jesus invites himself to his house. I know many of the ladies here would like shriek, what? Uninvited guests, no planning, they come. But the marked man, the most hated person in this town, hurried down and received Jesus joyfully, we're told. You know why? Because entering a man's house was expressing that I'm a friend with you. And that's why we're told in verse 7, they hated, they grumbled. And he said, he has gone in to be the guest of a man who is a sinner. Two applications today for the new year. I think people in this world do outrageous things, even unethical things, And I use that phrase, they sold their soul to the devil to make a name for themselves, willing to compromise and even treason here to make money, to find position, to establish their self-worth so that no one will ever look down on me or pick on me. But the emptiness and the void of the heart that all the money and fame cannot fill. Because the void of the heart, no matter how much you have and how much you gain more and more, it's caused by sin and separation from God. Because the Bible teaches that mankind were created in his image to know and to love him. And that's what the hell is. Absence of God, gnashing of teeth, suffering, both spiritual, emotional, and physical, you see. Are you today looking for Jesus because there's emptiness, void, longing for something that cannot be accomplished through everything that you have accomplished and gained? The answer is, to the void is not more things. It's not more money. It's not more position, but a person, Jesus Christ. For those of you who are in Christ, we must learn that there is no one outside of God's mercy and forgiveness of sins. We're told in verse 10, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. It doesn't say he came to save the lost. He came to seek and save the lost. Because it's interesting, Luke puts this story right after Jesus' encounter with the young rich ruler. Young rich ruler was young. He was a scribe or a lawyer. He knew God's word. He was rich. He had it all. These are guys that our young ladies would look up to say, wow. And he was seeking. He came to Jesus and asked the question, how can I gain eternal life? What a perfect way to bring him into the kingdom. But he walks away. He had a longing, but he walks away from Jesus. And yet today, the most hated man is sought out by Jesus. He knew where he was. He knew what was going on in his heart. And he says, Zacchaeus, come down. I must go to your house. You know what that means, church? Even the religious person, most pious, wanted something, but he walked away. But you and I are here today in Christ because Jesus sought you and I out. This is what we call sovereign grace. You see. And that's what we need the most as we enter the new year. Sovereign grace. Those of you who are seeking, maybe going to church all your life, do you hear Jesus calling your name today? Respond and believe. That will allow you to move forward the unalterable past to a beautiful future. The fruit of conversion. Gospel illustrated through the life of Zacchaeus, the most person that no one thought could be saved. Jesus seeking him out. The fruit of conversion, verses 8 through 9. And Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, so they're already in his house and sharing a meal. I think Zacchaeus would have probably invited more friends. And Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I restore it fourfold. And Jesus said to him, today, salvation has come to this house, and since he also is a son of Abraham. The experience of Jesus' love and friendship, Zacchaeus does two things. He says, half of my goods I give to the poor. That's a lot. Number two, if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I store it fourfold. Four times I will pay it back. And this is what Jesus responds. Today, salvation has come to this house. Now, a lot of people get it wrong. See, work-based. He gave it all. The young rich ruler couldn't give it all to the poor and follow Jesus. But he did. That's not what Jesus is teaching. This was evidence of conversion. The fruit of conversion. The fruit of salvation and regeneration of the heart. An anger-filled heart and hated the world has been replaced with gratitude. And gratitude leads to generosity. And this grace goes to undo everything that was wrong that he did. Why? Because the perspective of his self has changed in Christ, which changed his perspective of how he views money, and ultimately perspective of his past sin that it's not going to be unalterable, unchangeable, has been changed, and it sets him free. And voluntarily, he says, I will give half to the poor. And if I've done anyone wrong, I will give four times that, as long as I have you. And this is essentially what Zacchaeus is saying. The treasure in his life for money, willing to betray his own country, is replaced with Christ. And he gives willing to give it away. And once he met Christ, notice what he does. Anyone who I have defrauded, I will go and pay back even more. You know what he's doing? He's going to undo things that he has done wrong. That is a fruit of conversion. Not I have received Christ and I have salvation. You see, it changes your perspective on your money and your past sins. Don't get this wrong, church. The person is able to, Zacchaeus is able to do this because he had received forgiveness. You know, we used to write testimonies for all our people who are getting baptized and confirmed. The reason why we stopped that, it was many students are trying to like make it so fantastic, like some kind of experience, a mystical experience. That's not what this testimony is about. All you have to say is, you know what, I was a sinner and God saved me, praise God. But there's one particular person that I read, this was a while back. It was so refreshing to me. Because she grew up in the church, but in college she was awakened to the gospel. And it's changed her life. You know what she did? In her testimony, and she said, I can't wait to give my testimony to the world that God saved a sinner like me. Many of the students are afraid. Why should we be afraid of the grace that we have received? She's looking forward to sharing. And number two, I found out through her testimony, she called every of her family members she realized she did wrong over the whole years, all of her life, and just said, I'm sorry. And I said, that's evidence of conversion. Acknowledgement of one's sin, but knowing forgiven, asking for forgiveness. Praise God. Here's a young rich ruler who was seeking eternal life, came to the right person, but when Jesus sold everything and followed me, he couldn't. His riches were his identity. Zacchaeus, there was something wrong, but Jesus sought him out. And when Jesus befriended him, I'll give half of my way. You know, if you give half of your savings or your check account, it changes your lifestyle. Did you know that? Gospel Illustrated. Jesus sought out a person like Zacchaeus, the most hated evil person in that town. The fruit of conversion changes our understanding of money, generosity, gratitude, grace, and seeking forgiveness from others. I want to do a couple applications for our church for the 2026 as we learn from the gospel and from Zacchaeus. Let us move away from being like the religious leaders and the crowd who couldn't fathom how could he spend time with sinners? The sinner of our town. He must not be true. You know why we have this kind of attitude? We're kind of floored by someone who comes to faith, who never thought they would come to faith, because you and I do not see ourselves as lost sinners. Because if we really believe in our heart, the greatest miracle was like a person like you and I have been redeemed and forgiven, knowing that we were beyond repair, beyond saving, and beyond everything. Then we would see the world, people, totally different, you see. I'm no different than a mass murderer. I'm a sinner in the eyes of God. You know, we're going to partake in communion today. It's a table of grace, but there's a warning that's given. For those who are in the church, who look down on others, you see why that kind of mandate is given in communion? Because if you understand the gospel, you can't do that, you see? Second takeaway, resolve to look to Christ this year, the author and perfecter of our faith. Consciously, proactively engage in means of grace that God has given to you and I, because that is the place where God reveals himself. You know why? You know, I realize why a congregation like us don't pray and our generation of our parents pray. They couldn't survive. They needed God. Another reason why congregation like ours have a hard time praying, because no one kind of drifts into prayer. It's a discipline. You have to choose to do. You know why we don't? Because we're not in the Word. Because if you're in the Word, it naturally leads to prayer. Because you encounter God, who he is, what he desires, it reveals what's in our hearts, you see? The gospel saved a sinner that no one thought could be saved. And that gospel, same gospel, transformed the saint. The most hated person in his town is now most loved by God. The shortest person in town, I don't know, is now the spiritually the tallest. A miser became so generous. But the question to me is, what about Zechariah's sin? He defrauded. He treated harsh of his own people. He hated his physical height, which means he questioned God, why God made him this way. And don't some of you struggle with that? What happened to his sin? He couldn't live up to his meaning of his name, pure, innocent, and clean. His sins were forgiven because of the true Zacchaeus, who was truly pure, innocent, and clean, who was also like Zacchaeus, physically unattractable. We're told in Isaiah 53, verse 2 through 3, no beauty or majesty to attract us to him. Nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. The definition of true beauty of Christ, the second Godhead in heaven, came to this world as a very ordinary looking person. There's nothing to attract him. to embody the gospel. The one who was pure and innocent became sin to make us who are dirty, unchangeable, and evil, to make us beautiful and tall as a child of God. Zacchaeus, because of his grace, gave away half of his belongings. Our Lord Jesus Christ, the true Zacchaeus, gave all his life. That's the gospel this morning that you and I need more than ever. You don't need new spiritual innovation. You don't need to go to no new fad. Our reform understanding, the ordinary means of grace is given. He reveals himself to us through these means, prayer, word, and sacraments. You know what that means? We need to be diligent and faithful in the old things. And that's what this table is, church. He gives us himself to us. And he sees us. Innocent, pure, and right. And that's why the table challenges us to find rest, to repent, especially how we view one another in this church. May God give us grace this morning as we face the unpredictable future, but a beautiful future.